Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 30. And I'm not sure, it probably says in your pew Bibles, Thanksgiving for recovery from a grave illness or something like that, but it should also say a song at the dedication of the temple. Now, this was a psalm that they used to sing annually as they cleaned the temple. As they washed the floors and scrubbed it down, the high priest going closer to the Holy of Holies and into the chambers where the regular people weren't allowed to go, they would cleanse the temple every year. And this is the psalm that they would share when they did so. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. But you hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Ah, what a gorgeous psalm. What a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of soul music. It's been a while since we've cleansed this temple, and I think it's mostly because Tammy does such a great job every week that there's not that much cleansing to do. But I remember a few times when we would take Murphy's oil soap or something to the pews, this beautiful chestnut, and polish them. And the times when we did that were very reflective times. We were doing stuff for our sanctuary, and you can't be in here, especially when it's quiet, without feeling the presence of something, spirit, soul, all those who have prayed here before, God, Jesus. And a big secret for me, my favorite times here, no offense to all of you, I love Sunday morning worship, but if you ever have the privilege of being in here alone sometime, especially around sunrise, it is just golden and beautiful and restoring and marvelous. And I can just see those people as they were washing their temple and cleaning it and sweeping it out. I can just see them thinking of all they'd been through in the past year, the highs and the lows. And as they did their work, thinking of God, and marveling. Now, we don't always do that, especially when we're in the middle of great hurt. There are times when we develop a different attitude, maybe an attitude of everything happens to me or where is God? And that's natural and it's normal for us to develop such things when we're hurting or deeply confused. The sermon this morning is Everybody Hurts. And what I really want to talk about is God, appropriately enough, as I stand before you on Sunday morning to preach a sermon. But not just God, but the reality of a caring, loving, supportive God. I've got a Cocker Spaniel. It's a good place to start. And my Cocker Spaniel's mission is to chase every bird out of our yard. We've got a big yard, and she doesn't have great eyesight. But if she sees a bird, she takes off. She can never catch him. She's fast, but she's not that fast. But she'll take off. So if I want my hyper little Cocker Spaniel to get exercise, I will go about the business of pointing out the birds to her. Have you ever tried to point something out to a dog? Have you ever done that? Look over there! And the dog goes, your hand! It's your hand! No! Over there! Whoa! How do you do that with your paw? And I get more animated. No! There! There! And she'll hop along with me, looking at my hand the whole time, just like, wow, wow. And inevitably, when she finally does take off, I'll point this way, and she'll go that way. Because she doesn't understand the theory. She doesn't know what this means. And all she can see is this. The Bible and church can be very much like that. The Bible is pointing to God, and the churches are pointing to God. And there is always this danger for us to look at the church and look at the Bible and miss entirely the reality of God. I mean, we can read this thing backwards and forwards and memorize it and still somehow not step beyond it to see the reality of God. And I think of times in my own life where I've done exactly that, where I've read a passage, I need comfort. Oh, I need comfort. Let's see what I can do here. I'm going to open the Bible. And inevitably, it ends up being something about the Jews missing the cucumbers in Egypt or something. So I try to think, okay, what really has meaning for me? What's a good one? And I'll go to one of the old favorites usually. For me, there's a lot of old favorites. As you know, every Sunday I have a different one. But I'll go to Psalm 23 or something, and I'll start to read it, and hopefully it'll bring me some measure of comfort. But if it doesn't, I'll keep flipping to something else. There's got to be something in here that will help me find God. And meanwhile, there's like this beautiful sunset going on, or there's any number of other things that could tell me just as easily, what God wants. Or you come to church, and you're low and you're down. And this never happens here, but at some churches, I'm told, the sermon doesn't reach you. The music's a little flat. And it doesn't happen for you. And you walk out of the church even more hollow than you walked in. And it's much like a cocker spaniel staring at a finger. It's an old Buddhist saying of the wise man pointing at the moon and all the fools staring at his finger and thinking it is the moon. We look at our Bibles and we look at our churches and we don't always see that what they are is a tool to learn of God, a tool to help us discern God in our lives. It is not God itself. Now combine that with this psalm that they sing as they're cleaning out the temple. This beautiful Psalm 30 that they're singing, in it, what do they say? Do they say, God, you are wonderful, God, you are glorious? Yes. But is that all they say? No. They acknowledge their suffering. They acknowledge times when they felt so distant from their God. They sing out together as they're cleaning the place they come to worship of misery and suffering, and sin and mistakes, and alienation, and isolation. And they end with, but you're still God. And you carried me through all this. You brought me through all this. They're saying essentially what R.E.M. said in one of my favorite songs. Everybody hurts. Everybody hurts sometimes. And there is no immunity from that. You know, the more you pray, the nicer you are to other people, the more pious you are, does not protect you from cancer. Does not protect you from a runaway bus. Does not protect you from disappointment. Does not protect you from problems in your marriage. Does not protect you from anything. And in this, I can tell you I'm preaching to the choir because there are so many people in this room right now who have lived that, who have been through incredibly dark times. And no doubt times where they had no idea where God was or even if God was. And yet here they are sitting with us this morning. Here they were singing How Great Thou Art. Here they were praying and loving. And that's because God is not contained in a book or a building under a steeple. God is not contained in a mosque or a synagogue. God is, plain and simple. And the people who are here worshiping today, who have suffered deeply at some point in their past, may have found the reality of God. Not when everything was going so great, but when they had nothing left to lose and found that they were still here and found God was still speaking. Everybody hurts. Everybody hurts. And in our suffering and in our pain comes this moment when perhaps we take our eye off the instructor's hand pointing, and this moment where instead of seeing Bible or church, we see, oh, an expression of God. We see a love that is there. We see a support that is there when we are completely wiped out. And once we've experienced that, once we have experienced that, then we too know where to point. And someone else will benefit from the misery we've gone through and the hard times we've gone through. We become a Bible. We become a church. When we take our pain and our hurt and use that to direct someone else along the path. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody by bringing forth an example right now. But I know some people who are on their journey today for that very reason. And I know some folks who are playing music today and singing music today among us for that very reason. And I know people in this room who have been through cancer, who have been through divorce, who have been through profound economic hardship, who have been through prison, who have been through any number of sins or mistakes, who suddenly find they too are a tool of their God. They too are useful. They too are something of a church in Scripture because they can now point out, this is where I've been, and this is who's brought me here. I would ask anyone here, right now, who feels that they have felt the reality of God, anyone here right now who has been through the hurt and come out with a more profound understanding, I would ask you to consider yourselves a temple. Each of you, to consider yourself a temple, a place where others who are traveling through, who are hurting, might be able to see a little more clearly where God is in all of this. Everybody hurts. And everybody is called to the worshipful work of the temple. Amen.